Welcome to The Excellent Fiduciary, a podcast from Roland Criss, where we explore what it takes to meet and exceed the demands of managing a retirement plan in today's complex market. Now, let's begin today's show with an introduction from our Roland Criss host.
A strong risk culture helps avert incidents in the operation of employee benefit plans that can damage corporate reputations and trigger economic penalties. Across the retirement plan industry, the level of scrutiny has grown, both from regulators and litigation lawyers who represent disgruntled plan participants. To deal with these challenges, employers are seeking ways to integrate their enterprise risk management approach into human resources operations. This podcast discusses the reasons that risk culture must be a priority for C-level executives and employee benefit plan managers. Well, it's my pleasure to host this episode. I'm Ron Hagen, Chairman of the Risk Standards Committee of Roland Criss. Following the rise in the U.S. Department of Labor's emphasis on fiduciary conduct, employers have embraced the imperative to enhance their risk management competencies. In many cases, rigid controls already installed need upgrades, but as we've seen from more recent incidents, this hasn't fully addressed the fiduciary risk management challenges facing human resources executives. We're seeing the launch of an extensive range of improvement programs across the retirement plan industry that involve redesigning workflow frameworks, policies, procedures, and controls to detect and reduce potential risks. Now, the ability of internal controls to tackle the risk of errors and omissions is limited, and for two key reasons. One, risk management controls and procedures can only be effective when they're used in the right way and at the right moment. Secondly, experience tells us that more procedures combined with more rules or more regulation lead to confusion and a loss of employee accountability, and that reduces the quality of management oversight and commitment to adhere to fiduciary standards of care. Well, let's define risk culture for just a moment. A human resources unit's conduct, its priorities, and viewpoints on managing risk define its culture. Risk culture holds the employee benefit plan complex together. And under this risk culture umbrella are found the goals, the conduct, and the enforcement tactics on which decision-making and operations rely. Developing the parameters of risk culture is a task that falls to C-suite executives, while maintaining it is a duty shared by human resources managers. There are six steps for developing a risk culture that we have been able to identify in over 20 years of assistance given to employers in this human resources area. And I'd like to share those six steps with you this morning. It's dangerous, first of all, to assume that the health of a human resources risk culture aligns with the enterprise's risk tolerance without questioning it, especially true when regulatory activity is at a peak, as it now is. It pays to be watchful. The rhythm of operations in human resources can be a distraction that undercuts efforts to maintain a focus on the desired risk-based conduct, even hindering at times efforts to cultivate it. Based on years of experience helping organizations develop robust risk cultures for their employee benefit plan operations, six things constantly prove to be vital, and I'm going to give them now to you along with a brief explanation for each one. First of all, I'm going to call this the mandate for management. The development of risk culture is a responsibility shared by an enterprise's governing board and C-suite executives. Developing or improving human resources risk culture requires that senior management clearly articulates the enterprise's risk tolerance parameters. That's especially important for human resources executives in order to guide their choices on matters like investment strategy for retirement plan assets and selection of third-party service providers. A second key step in constructing a risk culture is what I'll categorize as communication. The construction of a robust human resources risk culture depends heavily on the presence of a clear view of the sources and characteristics of threats. both internal and external. When documented, boundaries that guide the desired behaviors can be established and monitored. And while developing and writing the risk vision is vital, it's equally essential that the tactics used to fulfill the vision spread throughout the entire human resources organization. Roland Criss's research on risk culture reveals that most enterprises in all industry sectors possess a risk vision that discusses strategy and defines risk appetite. Still, far fewer enterprises communicate that vision to human resources managers. A good example of that would be cybersecurity. In most organizations, information technology departments define and manage data protection policies in silos that are far removed from human resources. The resulting lack of knowledge that separation creates makes it difficult for benefit plan fiduciaries to execute their responsibilities under federal cybersecurity rules. The gap created by the lack of effective communication within an enterprise exposes its human resources operations to adverse regulatory outcomes. Well, the third key category of activity that's involved in developing a robust risk culture is what I'll call controls framework. An internal controls framework is crucial for building and monitoring the desired risk environment. Many human resources organizations have yet, however, to adopt such a tool. And despite the widespread use of internal controls frameworks for financial reporting, those kinds of structures are primarily absent among employee benefit plan programs. Now, an example of a relevant framework for employee benefit plans is the Investment Fiduciary Leadership Council's Retirement Plan Administrator Scope and Conduct. It was developed by a task force made up of human resources managers, legal counsel, and fiduciary experts. That framework describes specific actions substantiated by fiduciary practices that are embodied in the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, or ERISA. The framework is an excellent standard that provides tangible guidelines for managing ERISA plans. Adopting a formal standard like IFLIC's standard is a hallmark of effective employee benefit plan programs. The fourth component of a robust risk culture is what I'll call a structured workflow. The advantage of having a framework is that we have guidelines, but guidelines alone don't measure execution. A workflow does that. A workflow is a description of an operational process, or like payroll, for example, that's defined in sufficient detail to be directly executed by a workflow management system. In the current environment, management systems like this tend to be manual on the fiduciary side of things, with documentation methods ranging from ad hoc procedures to computer spreadsheets. The typical human resources approach for risk and control management relies on a segmented and inefficient system, is out of sync, and lacks agility. Improving workflows allows an organization to use its resources more efficiently. And in today's world, the ability to automate workflows creates new opportunities for human resources to upgrade their enterprise's risk culture, reduce costs, and ease the burden of compliance with ERISA. A fifth critical component of risk culture development is the institution, the adoption of performance reviews. Setting goals that track against performance indicators is essential in order to ensure management's commitment. Articulating an implied risk culture vision alone is insufficient, because deviation from loosely defined vision is too easy in the daily give and take of human resources operations. We find that many employers evaluate their employee benefit plan operations based on the execution of activities rather than on the effectiveness of the activities. And vendor management is an area of, I guess, notable laxity. Surveys of management methods regularly find a near total absence of actual measurements for vendors such as record keepers and investment advisors. Yearly performance reviews entrenched in the human resources schedule will ensure that maintaining the risk culture will occupy a prominent place on senior management's agenda. Well, the sixth and final component of it, a robust risk culture, has to do with the energy needed to sustain the effort. The constant emphasis is vital if expected behaviors are to be maintained, because risk culture is delicate. The consequences of mistakes and failings in employee benefit plan operations continue to grow in their severity. In order to justify a sustained effort, it's essential that the desired changes in behaviors among those who interact with a corporate retirement plan are compatible with the enterprise's risk appetite. Organizations that commit to strengthening their risk culture will enjoy the benefits through economic improvements and a reduced probability of crises caused by human resources personnel. On the other hand, those that are insincere about developing and sustaining a relevant risk management system may be on the road to a troubled future. Well, establishing an appropriate risk culture must be a priority for C-level executives and employee benefit plan managers alike. Incidents that have caused damages to employers' reputations and ruined professional human resources careers prove that slack risk culture is unacceptable for any organization. Well, before we wrap up today's podcast, I'd like to summarize the key points we've covered. Improper and negligent conduct, whether by an employer, staff, or a service provider, can significantly undermine compliance with ERISA's fiduciary standards of care. Ineffective risk cultures lack performance monitoring methods that embrace benefit plan operations. The frequent occurrence of undesirable incidents is evidence of an inadequate or missing control structure and defined workflows. That's an area to look into in your own environment. Employers should define their risk culture in a way that aligns with the enterprise's tolerance and values. Emerging workflow automation technology solutions make manual methods obsolete and risk culture upgrades economically feasible. It also makes the job of being a fiduciary on an ERISA-qualified benefit plan much easier. The use of performance indicators and incident data is essential for continuous process improvements and to ensure senior management's ongoing commitment. Embracing vendors such as payroll providers, investment consultants, record keepers, and third-party administrators through key performance indicators is an essential part of an authentic risk management approach. A risk management and a system is underscored by an assessment process regularly performed that identifies strengths and weaknesses in a risk culture and helps align the benefit plan operations with the organization's threat tolerance. Well, in summary, important benefits accompany a strong risk culture: reduced exposure to errors from increasingly complex operations, evidence of compliance with ERISA's prudence rules, and finally, transformation of ERISA's vague fiduciary principles into definable practices. Well, thank you for joining me on today's podcast. Please return next week and we'll cover another topic that challenges executives who serve as employee benefit plan fiduciaries. You may connect with Roland Criss on LinkedIn for frequent posts on this and other fiduciary management topics. Also, visit our website at rolandcriss.com for more resources. Until next time, have a great week.